The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and visually impaired, print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, under the heading of Real People. We have a volunteer veterinarian. A hand for pets in need. Quain Stewart provides free care to the animals of people who live on the street. He says it has taught him a lot about life. During the Great Recession, I moved to a city in California's Central Valley and became a shelter vet. Hordes of animals were coming in, and we couldn't keep them all. But as a municipal shelter, we couldn't turn them away either. I got a taste of what it's like, sadly, to euthanize dozens of animals every day. It broke my heart. I began to feel like I was losing in the eyes of God. I was starting to feel guilty. I started developing anxiety. I was looking for something to pull myself out of that emotional situation. Then, everything changed in a moment. It was about 10 years ago. On my way to work, I would always stop for gas and coffee at the same spot. I kept noticing a homeless man who was hanging out there. His dog was suffering from a skin condition. I, like most people, I walked right past the man without talking to him, but I couldn't stop noticing that poor dog. After maybe a couple of weeks, I stopped and asked the man about the dog. When I got closer to her, she looked almost as if she had been burned. She had scabs and redness and infection. It looked like it could have been something serious, but I knew it was just a flea issue. So I said, "I'm going to be back with medicine," and dropped some off to him the next day. A couple of weeks later, I ran into him again. The dog was transformed. Her hair was coming back, and she was wagging her tail. He started to cry and said, "Thank you for helping, for not ignoring." I started getting a little teary-eyed, too. When you're overlooked and dismissed by everybody, and the thing you love most is suffering, but no one will help you, it's so hard. I decided to find people who can't get help for their pets and give it to them. I dedicated a portion of my salary for medicines and procedures. When I had to refer a case, I would usually talk colleagues into reducing their fee. Eventually, I left the shelter and joined a practice. And I also set up a nonprofit to provide care for the pets of homeless people. The biggest thing I've learned over the years is to approach everyone without judgment, with a perfectly clean slate. These people are just people. They're no different from anyone else. For whatever reason, they have found themselves in a bad place. They have had, perhaps, a difficult family past. They may have had some kind of addiction. They may have made some poor choices. Who hasn't? But maybe not have had the kind of support they needed to come out of it. So to be able to help them, help that animal they love so much, it's something practical I can do that will take one worry off their mind. Kindness can't solve every problem, but it can solve a lot of them. And this article was as told to Leslie Quander Wooldridge. Quain Stewart, 51, is the chief medical officer of Papaya Pet Care in San Diego and co-founder of the nonprofit Project Street Vet, which gives free care, treatment, and support to the pets of people experiencing homelessness or financial hardship. Now, moving on to AARP, the Bulletin, 2022 Consumer Guide. This is the expert's edition. Beat the System: How to Find the Best Help in a Crazy, Costly, Post-Pandemic World. Now, this is a pretty lengthy article, so we may have to do it over several sessions. Maybe it's temporary, maybe it's permanent, but as of this moment, most every aspect of being a consumer is topsy-turvy. Prices are soaring. Hired help is hard to find. Supplies are backordered, deliveries are delayed, and yet demand for goods and services keeps going up and up. How do you get the projects or the work done that you want or need in such an environment at a cost that's reasonable? Back in September, the AARP Bulletin published a series of articles called Beat the System that detailed how to get the best possible customer service. Readers told us they found the advice hugely helpful. So, in that spirit, we're back with a new edition of Beat the System, this time on how to find the experts you need in these unique economic times. Our reporters interviewed dozens of insiders about how to separate the best professionals from the rest, and their advice follows. But certain truths apply to all important decision-making. Take your time. Research thoroughly. Involve people you trust. Exercise a healthy skepticism. Bring those skills and use these tips, and you'll greatly increase your chance of a terrific outcome. Health, finding the best primary care physician. A surge in Americans retiring or changing jobs, and often changing locations and insurance in the process, means more people looking for new primary care physicians. But finding the right one can be a challenge. There's a growing shortage of primary physicians, and the not accepting new patients line is all too common with online listings. Here's what to do. Start with your insurance card. Use the Find a Doctor feature on your insurance provider's website for obvious reasons. Look for generalist or internist to find primary care physician candidates. To avoid wasting time, check the website or call the office to verify that the doctors are accepting new patients. Match your history. Did one or both of your parents have a heart condition? Does autoimmune disease run in your family? Many internists will have a second specialty, like cardiology or rheumatology. Zero in on those whose specialty aligns with your health history. Then check their education and affiliation. Insurance sites will often list doctors' undergraduate and graduate schools, as well as the hospital where they completed their residency. Keep an eye out for prestigious medical schools or residencies at top hospitals. Great doctors can come from anywhere, but the more rigorous their studies, the more they might know about patient care. It's okay to shop. Consider your first appointment a first date. If you walked out of a room feeling heard and understood, then I think there's a good match, says Arif Kamal, MD, Chief Patient Officer with the American Cancer Society. Connect best with older doctors? It's not inappropriate to ask if they are planning to retire anytime soon and to consider that in your decision. Finding the best fitness center. The U.S. has more gyms, over 32,270, than it has McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, and Taco Bell's combined. And their size, personality, and offerings vary widely. What's the best one for you? The one you'll actually use. Observe the under 4 mile rule. Research shows if you live further from your gym, you're less likely to go, says Chris Sciamana, MD, professor of medicine at the Penn State College of Medicine. In one survey, people who live 3.7 miles from their gyms went five times or more a month. Those who drove 5.1 miles went just once. Check their safety protocols. You want a gym that has upgraded its ventilation systems and cleaning services in response to the pandemic. Good news, many have. Pick the right preview time. That is, visit the gym around the time you'll be using it to assess the crowds and equipment availability. Note that 91% of gym goers are between 18 and 54, so gyms are most crowded in the hours right before and right after work. That leaves a lot of room for retirees to exercise with relatively sparse crowds. Buddy up. Sometimes the best gym is simply the one your friend uses. Having a fitness partner can help you stay more dedicated to exercising and can even help improve your fitness results. Numerous studies back this up. And right-size your needs. Why pay for a huge gym with pools, spin classes, saunas, drink bars, and high-tech gear if you have little intention of using them? Sometimes a small yoga studio, the local Y, or even an online fitness app may be just the right match. Different gyms have different vibes and clientels. Women's only gyms are also increasing in popularity. Be honest about your must-haves. Now, next time, we'll look at finding the best hospital and the best surgeon. Now, we're going to spend some time with the magazine, The Complete Guide to Memory. And as you know, right now, we're talking about being hooked on a feeling and accessing long time ago memories. Let's look at the basis for emotional memories. Research has found that emotional memories, which are tied to experiences that evoked some type of reaction when they occurred, are stronger and persist longer than neutral ones do. This may be partly because the emotional reactions themselves change the way the memory system functions in ways that make the emotions become part of the memory representation. In contrast to episodic memories, which often reflect what happened and perhaps who was present at a particular event, emotional memories reflect the emotional content of the situation. When the memory comes to mind, it tends to feel really vivid, like we've time-traveled back to that point. Retrieval of emotional memories involves the brain's hippocampus, where memories are stored, and the prefrontal cortex, PFC, which plays a central role in decision-making. Another brain region, the amygdala, is a center for emotion, sits right next to the hippocampus. They're neighbors, and they clearly interact. Various lifestyle factors can affect this two-way communication. It's no secret that sleep has a beneficial effect on memory and cognitive function. When it comes to emotional memories, sufficient sleep has been shown to have an enhancing effect, leading to greater memory consolidation, better recognition abilities, and less emotional reactivity toward negative stimuli. Sleep allows us to process emotional salience in our environment, so we wake up with a clean emotional state and slate. Emotional memories are replayed extra times during multiple sleep stages, including slow wave and REM sleep. This helps filter out what you should keep working on or not regarding memories and emotions. This is important for helping you retain what you learned from an emotional event. Stress can also affect emotional memory, and there seems to be a sweet spot. In the right amounts, stress and emotion work together to boost memory. For example, while it's unlikely that you would normally remember what you ate for breakfast on the second Tuesday of last February, you might recall the meal in vivid detail if that's when your romantic partner told you they wanted to split up. That would make for a memorable breakfast indeed. Balancing the positive and the negative. Most people probably don't mind the emotional rekindling of happy memories, but if your emotional memories consistently tilt into the negative zone, you might. For many people, it's not the content of the memory that's problematic, it's that it re-triggers an emotional reaction. Interestingly, young adults naturally tend to have more negative emotional memories because those are the things we learn from. By contrast, older adults naturally prioritize positive emotional memories, perhaps because they've already learned plenty and they're more focused on maintaining positive mental health. When they do focus on negative emotional events, they quickly pivot to silver linings, to lessons learned from the negative experience. One of the best ways to deal with an influx of negative emotional memories, experts say, is to consciously do that. Think about something good or a lesson that came out of an upsetting experience. Reframe the event in your mind by focusing on the resilience it took to get through that event at the time. You can use a similar strategy with positive emotional memories if you consider what you learned from them that you can bring into the future. In some instances, you may also be able to use positive emotional memories to improve your mood. Intentionally looking at photos or listening to music from a joyful event or exposing yourself to a scent that reminds you of someone you love may elicit the positive feelings you associate with those past experiences. Exposure to a reminder of an emotional event elicits brain activity in both the amygdala and the medial PFC, similar to that taking place during the original event. This brain activity then elicits an emotional response that's similar to what you experienced during the actual event. Good or bad, your emotional memories can serve as learning experiences, powerful reminders of your resilience, or opportunities for positive walks down memory lane that can lead to feel-good emotions. In other words, your emotional memories are an integral part of who you are now and who or what you can become in the future. Little sidebar article here says, choose your favorite rerun. Events filled with intense but positive or joyous emotion tend to play over in your brain again and again, and you won't mind that repetition. Back to AARP The Bulletin. Your health. To live longer and get stronger, in just 1 hour a week, you can change your health and your life. Everyone knows that cardio exercise is crucial for overall health. But the secret to staying strong and vital for life isn't just in walking, running, biking, swimming, and other forms of aerobic fitness. It's in your muscles. In a 2021 review of 16 studies from around the globe, researchers found that just 30 to 60 minutes a week of muscle strengthening or resistance exercise increased life expectancy by 10 to 17%. What counts as muscle strengthening exercise? Lifting weights, of course, but also yoga, Pilates, calisthenics, and even carrying the groceries or a grandchild. Eating protein in the proper amounts at the proper time is also crucial for preserving muscle. As we outlined in AARP's New York Times best-selling book, The Whole Body Reset, science shows that women 50 and older need at least 25 grams of protein at every meal, 30 grams for men, to stimulate protein synthesis, the process for building and maintaining muscle. Studies show that when people in their 60s combined this style of eating, known as protein timing, with resistance exercise, their bodies respond as if they were in their 20s. Here's why combining resistance exercise and protein timing is so important for your health. You'll keep your brain healthy. One study looked at 970 people living in senior communities who had no evidence of cognitive decline. Researchers put the subjects through a series of strength tests, measuring their upper and lower extremities. Over the next 3.6 years, 15% of the subjects developed Alzheimer's disease, but their risk was strongly determined by where they fell on the strength scale. For every 1 point increase in muscle strength, a subject's risk of Alzheimer's dropped by 43%. You'll reduce your risk of future weight gain. A low level of muscular fitness was associated with higher odds of gaining at least 22 pounds over the ensuing 20 years, one study found. You'll keep your blood pressure under control. In another study, higher levels of muscular strength were associated with a reduced risk of developing high blood pressure among men with hypertension, or pre-hypertension. You'll slash your risk of heart disease. Several studies have shown that the greater your muscular strength, the lower your chance of developing metabolic syndrome, a constellation of health issues including excess abdominal fat, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, and high cholesterol, all of which are tied to heart disease. And the greater your muscular strength, the lower your levels of inflammatory compounds, which may also help to lower your risk of heart disease. You'll beat back diabetes. Higher muscle mass has been associated with better insulin sensitivity and lower risk of developing diabetes or prediabetes in a study of 13,644 subjects. Those with the lowest percentage of muscle were 63% more likely to have diabetes than those with the highest percentage. You'll be better poised to battle cancer. Breast cancer patients with high muscle mass have a greater chance of surviving the disease than those who have lower muscle mass, according to a study of 3,241 women, median age 54, with stage 2 or 3 invasive breast cancer, and in a study of men who had undergone a radical prostatectomy to treat prostate cancer, those with the lowest levels of muscle were more likely to see a recurrence of the cancer and more likely to die of the disease. And finally, you'll stay happier. A study of 3,000 adults aged 54 to 89 found that having a strong grip was inversely associated with symptoms of depression. Strong, healthy, and happy. If that sounds like the future you've imagined for yourself, it's time to make your muscles a top priority. Make sure you're getting 25 to 30 grams of protein at every meal and talk to your doctor about starting a muscle-building fitness program. This article was adapted with permission from the Whole Body Reset, your weight loss plan for a flat belly, optimum health, and a body you'll love at midlife and beyond by Stephen Perrine with Heidi Skolnick, published by Simon & Schuster. Next article from AARP, The Bulletin, money, your money, Medicare made easy. You make money, now make it work for you. Some Medigap plans say they cover so-called excess charges. What are they? Excess charges refer to what a doctor bills over and above what original Medicare Part B will pay for a medical service. These charges are rare because 98% of physicians accept what is called Medicare assignment, the amount Medicare has announced it will pay for a specific service or procedure. Doctors who don't agree to the assignment cap can charge up to 15% more than the Medicare-approved amount. The best way to avoid these charges is to ask if your health care provider accepts Medicare assignment. Also, some states either fully or partially prohibit excess charges. Check with your local state health insurance program, SHIP, S-H-I-P, to find out. I heard that Medicare has Medicare medical savings accounts. What are they? Medicare medical savings accounts, or MSAs, are patterned after the health savings accounts, HSAs, that an increasing number of private companies offer their employees. To get one, you need to select an MSA plan as your Medicare coverage. It's a kind of Medicare Advantage plan run by a private company that has two parts to it. The first is a high-deductible health plan that will only begin to cover your costs once you meet a very high yearly deductible. The second part is the MSA account itself. The plan deposits money in a special savings account for you to spend on health care needs, including paying medical costs until you meet your deductible. Unlike other MA plans, if you join an MSA, you usually won't have to use a network of doctors, hospitals, and other medical providers. Other key points Even if you select an MSA plan, you'll still be responsible for your Part B premium, $170.10 per month for most enrollees in 2022. And these plans don't include prescription drug coverage, so you'll have to buy a Part D plan to get coverage for medications. This section was by Dina Bunis. She's a senior editor and writer for AARP.org and a veteran health policy journalist. You can send her your questions about Medicare to medicare@aarp.org. Due to the volume of inquiries, we can't answer every question. Now on to another AARP The Bulletin, a cover story from a previous edition, 99 Great Ways to Save. So we have not quite 2 minutes. Let's see if we can cover some more of these 99 ways. We're on 69 now. Confirm in-network care. This is under health care. Several weeks before an elective procedure, call your insurer and provider to confirm the procedure and those involved in your care, such as a physician and anesthesiologist. Make sure they're in your network and covered by your plan. If they're not all in-network, consider using another physician. 70. Use patient assistance programs. Many of these pharmaceutical and medical device company-funded programs expanded during the pandemic. Check needymeds.org/PAP for a list of current programs. 71. Medicare recipients. Ask about your free annual wellness visit. This visit gives you time with your doctor to look at long-term health needs and goals. People who have them are more likely to get recommended influenza, pneumonia, and shingles vaccines, to receive recommended colon and breast cancer screenings, and to get a cholesterol check, research shows. 71. Get free eye care. People over 65 may be eligible for a free eye exam and care through the American Academy of Ophthalmology's Eye Care America program. Learn more at AAO.org. Well, I think that's all we can fit in for today. Next time, we'll keep going on these little tidbits. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. We'll be right back.